D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, David Janes here with you on Friday. Derek Mason and I are live at the pub in the Gulch, 411th Avenue. The SEC tournament rolls on today. Willie Donick is still in California with the Nashville Predators. They start a back-to-back in Southern California against the Anaheim Ducks tonight, the Los Angeles Kings tomorrow, before the Predators head home next week. Derek is live and in living color. He is playing hurt. He is playing ill. He has two yellow Gatorades here, Willie Donick. Two yellow Gatorades.
You mean lemon lime? Lemon lime?
No,
Gatorades?
Yellow Gatorades, Willie.
He's got
yellow.
Two yellow Gatorades.
You mean citrus cooler then, if it's yellow?
Absolutely. Cooler. Absolutely not. So, we have been on the road all week long because of the SEC tournament. All of our coverage, by the way, of the SEC tournament is presented by Toyota. Fuel your adrenaline at toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places. And also brought to you by Guinness, thenewcumberland.com, Volunteer Hose and Gasket, and Sloan's Motorcycle and ATV. Now, guys, I don't know if you know this about me, but I am a fan of Maximum Chaos. You may have heard that once or twice. And
yes,
we had Maximum Chaos in the SEC tournament second round. Let's just go through this. We'll start in chronological order. We will start with the first game of the day yesterday. Ole Miss, Arkansas. Score is tied at 80. Arkansas goes to the free throw line with around 7 seconds left. Mm-hmm. Arkansas misses both free throws. Ole Miss grabs the rebound. Then Sean Padula sinks a long three-pointer with a second left on the clock as Ole Miss knocks off Arkansas 83-80. And that was just the beginning, but Derek Mason, a rough loss for the Razorbacks with the game in their hands at the free throw line. Two missed free throws and a buzzer beater three the other way. Ole Miss escapes Arkansas 83-8.
Yeah, it was a – Arkansas had that game. I thought that was a game that Arkansas needed. Willie, you and I have talked about Arkansas all season, and Coach Cal and what he inherited. That is a – that's an athletic team. They got a good team. But for some reason – they do things toward the end of the game that just cost them. And yesterday was identical to what you had seen throughout the season. They had the game won. Only thing they have to do is make it a free throw contest, and they were not able to do it. So I want to see what happens to Arkansas. Do you still believe they will get in the tournament? I think they're still on a bubble. I would be surprised if they did get in. They've had some good wins, especially toward the latter part of the year. But that game last night, if they win that game, I think for sure they're in. But they let it slip away.
Yeah, they what's interesting, the league is so good, and we're going to talk about all these games, that the strength of the league is going to dictate that I think they're all going to get in. I looked at Joe Rexroad's piece this morning. I don't think Joe Lunardi has come out with a new bracketology yet. I'm guessing that's coming before the games really get cranking today, although Joe probably will. Joe Lunardi, we should call them the Joes, right? You got Rexroad and Lunardi. And by the way, Rexroad's getting some serious camera time. He's sitting right behind Jay Billis and Dan Shulman.
Do you think he did on purpose?
This is not the first time this has happened, by the way. I remember last year at the SEC tournament, he was right in between the announcers. And I had a fun game. It was almost like playing peekaboo with my son. At one point, Joe Rexroad must have left to go to the restroom. He wasn't there. I turn around. He's right there. He's back in between.
Right,
it's like, where's Joe? There he is. That's what it was. So Joe gets prime real estate on ESPN every year.
And Mitch Light's right next to him. So a couple of stars.
Shout out Mitch Light.
Getting some serious camera time on ESPN. But D-Mace, they're all going to get in. It really looks like if there were some other teams that could have maybe jumped up and knocked or threatened the Vanderbilts, the Arkansas, the Oklahomas, the teams
so
on that
So you think
the
SEC will get 14 teams in?
It's what it looks like. It's crazy. Uh-huh. 14 out of 16. But they've earned it, right? It's because of how well they played outside of the league and some of the developments that have gone on in the other tournaments. Nobody yesterday really rose up and grabbed anything that will get the tournament committee's attention. Not enough of them to knock the 14 out, I don't think.
Let's talk about why at the SEC might have 14 teams. The next game in the SEC tournament yesterday, Texas, 94-89 in double overtime against Texas A&M. The Longhorns knocked off the Commodores in the opening round of the SEC tournament. They knock off 14th-ranked Texas A&M in double overtime in the second round. Texas now advances to face Tennessee this afternoon, tip-off at 2:30. But Texas, which was truly on the bubble, entering the SEC tournament, two wins already. I mean, I think at this point, Willie, that Texas has probably made its case, but if Texas can continue this run and knock off the Vols today, you can put it in Sharpie as far as I'm concerned.
I would agree. The Sharpie would be a no-doubter if they won today, which I'll be impressed if they can. But when you watch Texas, how in the world are they even on the bubble? They have major, major talent. They should have made it easier than they did. But look, this is life in the SEC. You can look bad on any given night in this league. You give them a lot of credit. They have been hungry to go after it. That game was incredible to watch. I watched so many games yesterday, not just in the SEC, but outside of the league. It went right down to the last possession. So many double overtime games. Middle Tennessee won in double overtime yesterday. I mean, it seemed like every other game is coming right down to the last shot. But Texas A&M, I thought the most intriguing thing about that game, Texas A&M is about to shoot a three up, I think, five.
Yes.
In overtime. Buzz Williams calls a timeout as this guy is raring back to shoot.
But you got to talk about why he called the timeout, because that ball was going from hand to hand. It was a lot of erratic, just no one could get control of the ball. And when they finally got control of it, he called timeout. Wade hits a three-pointer, but it's null and void.
It doesn't count. And then so instead of taking full control of the overtime, Texas comes down, gets away with a blatant travel, which, by the way, when are they ever going to call travel? Like, what does a guy have to do to call traveling? You can do.
They don't call traveling basketball no more. You know that.
They don't call traveling. The guy lifts his pivot foot up. He jumps. That's the first thing you teach a first grader that you can't do is when you shot fake, you can't lift your feet off the ground. And he did. And he slides over and hits a three. And so it's like it's literally a 6-point swing, or maybe even more than like instead of Texas A&M having complete control of the overtime, Texas is right back in it. They get it to double overtime, and they win. All hats off to Texas. They might have been in even if they lost that game, but that game goes a long way because they got the win that a lot of other teams in that situation didn't get, like Ohio State, like Indiana, like Villanova yesterday. There was one or two others that I was watching closely, but so Texas got that big extra win. I think that should be enough to at least get them into the first four.
And finally, in the nightcap, Kentucky escapes Oklahoma 85-84. The Wildcats led by 10 with a minute and a half left in the game, and you thought, all right, that's a wrap. But Oklahoma had other ideas. They crawl back into the game. They take the lead with 6 seconds left, 84-83, before Otega Owe hits an incredible baseline layup at the buzzer. Kentucky survives 85-84. That was Oklahoma's probably last best shot at making a case for the NCAA tournament, but Kentucky survives on an incredible shot by Otega Owe at the buzzer.
But I think
I think Oklahoma will still get in the tournament. I think they'll get there.
You think they'll still get in?
Oh yeah, I think they're because of their non-conference wins. And this is crazy to think that they are in SEC games now with the 1-1 in the tournament, 7-13 against SEC teams. They did so well in the non-conference. I think it's going to give them what they need to get over the top. I think the 14 are going to. The only teams not going to the dance will be LSU and South Carolina. So I think they're going to get in. Oklahoma, I think, is on top of Texas, maybe even on top of Arkansas, but in the right there with Vanderbilt. Even though that they're the 14th seed in the SEC tournament. But let's talk about that game for just a second. All right, Kentucky is ahead, 83-77, with 41 seconds to go. So they come down, Oklahoma hits a three, 83-80. Okay, no problem. Make your free throws, get the ball in. Back-to-back turnovers. And all of a sudden, that lead goes away in a matter of seconds. In real time, it happened so fast. I was looking at all the reactions in the Kentucky fandom. And, of course, it's always fun to watch Kentucky fans, because they think they own the gym when they come to Nashville. They were ready to have a heart attack. And then here comes Otega Owe, who for the second time this year shatters Oklahoma. And, oh, by the way, he used to play for Oklahoma.
Right.
Remember that?
Yes.
Twice. He did it in Norman, Oklahoma during the regular season, and he does it again doing that. That was wild.
By the way, the latest bubble watch on ESPN, which has been published within the past couple of hours. To your point, Willie, I was shortchanging the Sooners. Bubble Watch has the Sooners at 87%, the Longhorns at 70%, the Razorbacks at 62%, the Commodores and Bulldogs at 61% each.
They're all getting in. I've looked. There would have to be incredible, and I just don't see it. Like I'm looking at leagues, like for example the ACC. Mm-hmm. With flag hurt, you're thinking, well, maybe that draw could open up and a Stanford or an SMU perhaps could win that tournament. That would start to make the 13th and 14th teams sweat in the SEC.
Well, Stanford gave Louisville one hell of a scare, but Louisville on another buzzer beater, if I'm not mistaken,
Adam,
right?
They were up by 15 in the second half. It was incredible. Louisville came roaring back and hit the buzzer beater, and it was the classic buzzer beater. It was a scramble play on an offensive rebound. The initial shot doesn't go in, which is why you want to take that last shot with about 2 seconds left so that you have a chance for what happened. It's a scramble. It looks like Stanford's got the rebound. It gets bopped back to the guy at the free throw line. He just lets it go from the elbow. It's the classic. It leaves your hand. The red light on the outline of the backboard comes on, and boom, it goes in. There's not even a fraction of a second left. So there goes Stanford's chances. And SMU, the same way, right there with Clemson all the way through the game. Led for most of the game. But Clemson found a way to beat them in the final seconds. And so it looks like North Carolina now has a golden opportunity. And they may not even have to win this game against Duke, but they can beat Duke and put themselves in Sharpie. But I think the ACC
I think it helps
the
if
four.
They.
I think they'll have the four in from that league, but that's it.
I just want to point out Dustin and Hopkinsville. So keep in mind that Kentucky won the game yesterday, okay? Mm-hmm. I want everybody to remember this fact, that Kentucky won the game yesterday, Dustin and Hopkinsville. Let's talk about it. Chandler gets elbowed, no call, starts bleeding, no review. Car gets pulled down. Should have been flagrant. Any momentum in that game was manufactured by the refs. Phantom foul calls on Owe. Fears 2 of 11 for three-pointers. The only reason Oklahoma was in it was the refs. Keep in mind, Kentucky won the game.
But it goes to what Willie says. I mean, you can't please Kentucky basketball fans. That's just, I mean, they invented basketball. There we go. As I'm looking at Kentucky fans, and she said, I guess it's her husband, is an Alabama fan.
Yes.
How does that happen?
Kentucky, Alabama tonight at 8:30, by the way.
Exactly. Yes, but Kentucky won. So, but, I mean, listen, this was said before all tournaments even started, and it's starting to be true, that the SEC tournament might be better than the actual tournament.
Jay Billis went on, I can't recall which radio program or podcast it was, but at one point, Jay Billis, lead ESPN college basketball analyst, said he thought it would be harder to win the SEC tournament than the NCAA tournament, considering the opponents you're playing on a daily basis.
Yes. And it seems to think about it's raining true a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Think about what Texas would have to do to win this tournament. You tell me if you think it's harder or easier than what they might have to do in the NCAA tournament. They beat Vanderbilt, and they beat Texas A&M. Those are two quad one wins. They still have to win three more games to win the SEC tournament, and it starts with Tennessee. There's only heavyweights left. So they would have to win five consecutive quad one games to get in 5 days. That I think is more difficult than the NCAA tournament, which at least you get a break. You don't play back-to-back games, right? You would certainly play tough teams, but six games over 3 weeks is a little different than five games in five nights against five quad one teams.
So the SEC action continues today. This is when the big boys play. Ole Miss and Auburn at noon, followed by Texas and Tennessee at 2:30, Missouri and Florida at 6, Kentucky and Alabama at 8:30. So, again, this is when the big boys play. The top four seeds in the SEC tournament begin play today. Just a hop, skip, and a jump away from where we are. We are at the pub in Nashville in the Gulch on 11th Avenue. Come see us. Plenty of delicious food and beverages on tap. Why wait for St. Patrick's Day? The party starts early at the pub Nashville. Enjoy proper shenanigans all weekend long with Irish fare, drink specials, and live entertainment, including Irish step dancers, bagpipes, and more. Don't miss the fun. Guinness specials all day. Enjoy all the pub's awesome food, including Irish fare like corned beef and cabbage and Guinness stew. $7 Guinness, Harp, Magners, and Smithwick Strouts. $7 Jameson and Jameson Orange Shots. $9 Irish Sinker Shots. And $13 Lucky Green Cocktails here at the pub in the Gulch. 615-737-1025. We will, of course, continue to update you on all SEC tournament action. It kicks off in less than an hour. Ole Miss, Auburn at noon at Bridgestone Arena. But coming up next, we've wandered through the frontier, as Willie Donick likes to say. We've wandered through the quarterback frontier.
Have we gotten past the Rocky Mountains yet? That's what we have to hope. If you've watched American Primeval, that's the goal of the people on the frontier. They've got to get past the wolves and all of the people on the frontier to get to California. Have we made it past the Rockies?
We're running out of water, so I don't know yet.
Okay. Right. Like I always talk about with the Oregon Trail, you always have to make sure that you make sure your oxen don't drown in the river and that your family doesn't die of dysentery. There is a question. Now that some of the free agency signings have started filing in here, there is a question that I do want to ask as it relates to the Tennessee Titans. We'll do that next. 615-737-1025. Derek Mason, Willie Donick, Adam Vingan, live at the pub in the Gulch, 1025, 1063, the game.
Cam and Shador obviously training together as we should. Bunch of highlights there. Shador spinning it all over the place. Him and Cam.
Really good. Good player.
You like Cam Ward a lot, right?
Yeah, I think Cam Ward's the number one pick, and it's clear to be the number one pick. I've said this. I think the thing that surprised me more about Cam Ward than I anticipated was how well he throws the ball from the pocket. I mean, there are so many examples where that ball, he hits his back foot on the ground, and that thing jumps out of his hand. And it's an absolute rip. And the ball downfield, I mean, he throws the seam ball as good as anybody. Gosh, I'm trying to think. You know, Jaden threw the crosser really well, but throwing the ball in between the hash, he absolutely steps on the football and rips it. And so it's clear to me that he's the number one pick. It reminds me a little bit, you know, ironically, Steve McNair coming out of school and just his style. He's not an electric athlete. He's not a dynamic athlete, but he's athletic enough. And I wish he was an inch or two taller, but Cam Ward, clear number one pick. If I was Tennessee, I would not trade out of the pick.
Tennessee Titans need a quarterback.
That was Dan Orlovsky on the Pat McAfee Show discussing Cam Ward. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. Derek and I are live at the pub in the Gulch, 411th Avenue. Come see us. We will be here through 6 o'clock. Stillman & Company right after us, of course. So, to use more metaphors for the quarterback market, we've used the frontier. And during the break, I thought to myself, the quarterback market right now is a lot like when you go to the grocery store right before a storm hits. And everything you want is off the shelves. Mm-hmm. So your favorite type of toilet paper, you know, the extra ply toilet paper, it's not there. But there's the store brand toilet paper that's not as soft, but it will do the trick, maybe. And you have no other choice but to grab it. Right? That's what the quarterback store looks like right now. Aaron Rodgers is still out there contemplating his future on the beach, I guess. Have you seen those pictures, guys, of Aaron Rodgers looking pensive, looking contemplative on the beach? He's still out there. Russell Wilson is still available, but I digress. This is the question that I have for both of you. Is there anything that can prevent Cam Ward from being the number one overall pick in the NFL draft at this point? Willie, why don't you start?
Yeah, I think there's always something that could prevent him from being the pick. And I hope they don't telegraph it like this for the next couple months. Everything they've done does seem to point in that direction, is leading you down that path that they're going to take Ward. Look, I'm going to keep making this point. Cam Ward was not anywhere close to being talked about the way he is now. And I understand that as guys get evaluated, it changes the way people view it. Dan Graziano just gave a glowing report on Cam Ward. About a month ago, there were plenty of people. The narrative was, hey, neither one of these guys really are worthy of the first pick. We heard that a million times from a lot of different people. So he's the same guy. I don't think Cam Ward went to, I don't know where Aaron Rodgers went, some cave or something, came back a different guy. He's the same guy they've been watching. So I'm still going to be consistent. I don't think it's the best move for the Titans to draft Cam Ward. But look, if they think he is absolutely worthy of the first overall pick in the draft, I'm not talking about a first round pick. I'm talking about if he is worthy of a franchise-changing first overall pick, then that's fine. And I wouldn't do it just because, hey, I don't think there's any other good options at quarterback. To me, that's why you're on the frontier. I don't think they can fix this roster in 1 year. It's going to take a couple years. So to me, that's the priority. And at some point, you got to get the quarterback. So maybe this is it. I just... I'm concerned about how the consensus has changed so much without Cam Ward ever playing a game.
But how does it change, Derek? Because Cam Ward did not participate at the NFL Combine. He has done interviews. I believe he's been here for a visit. So we've talked about this so many times. Remember, we did this exercise a couple of weeks ago where we looked at quarterbacks and where they were on big boards at the beginning of the process versus where they ultimately ended up. And Willie, as you always say, quarterbacks inevitably move up. If they're low, they will inevitably move up. So, Derek, my question is, to Willie's point, how has this consensus changed so quickly?
We have a rule in my house, especially, you know, when the kids were younger. Like, if we see something, especially if it's a big purchase, we think about it for 24 to 48 hours before we make our decision. And if we still feel good about that, then we do it. But if there's any hesitation or anything else, because I've been there a couple of times where I go in and I'm like, man, I want that. And then it's like, okay, we need to wait. Let's talk about it. And then I come back a day, 2 days later, like, I really didn't need it. I don't want it. That's what the quarterback market is about. That's what the Tennessee Titans are doing. I think they went in, they looked at these quarterbacks. They probably loved Cam Ward. But they said, you know what, let's go back and let's watch some more film. Or Dan Orlowski. Well, I like Cam Ward, but let me sit on this. Let me go back and think about it and watch some more film. And as you start to watch more film, you start to like the guy more and more. You start to hate the guy more and more. You start to like the product a little bit more, or you start to say, like me, I really don't need it. That's where quarterbacks are. If there's not a consensus number one guy, that's where quarterbacks are every year. You go in at the beginning of at the end of the NFL season, which is the beginning of the new season, and you look at these quarterbacks and you think, okay, I don't like them as much, or I do really like them. But then you go back and you start reevaluating some things. You start looking at more tape, and either you convince yourself that he's the guy, or you actually do see things that makes you think, okay, he can be the quarterback of our franchise. It's starting to get that way with Cam Ward. I think across the board with a lot of people, a lot of analysts, they're starting to look at it now and say, you know what? Cam Ward, he may end up being the number one pick in the draft. He may end up being the guy that is worthy of the number one pick. 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I didn't think so. But the more and more tape I watch of Cam Ward, he starts to pop. That's how football is. It happens each and every year, especially with quarterbacks. You either convince yourself that the guy you want to draft, you're going to draft, or you convince yourself that the guy you wanted to draft at the beginning, he's not the guy that I want anymore. So it's going to continue to happen. I'm not surprised that people like analysts like Dan Orlowski, because I'm sure Dan Orlowski a month ago didn't know, or 2 months ago didn't really know whether it was going to be Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward or Jackson Dart or some other quarterback. But the more and more film he started to watch, he started to believe, and he started to talk to people. He started to believe, hey, Cam Ward might end up being the number one pick.
Remember, Willie, we talked about this a couple of times. Matt Miller of ESPN did a story where, with help from NFL scouts, decision makers, and analysts, he built a list using pre-draft grades of the first round quarterbacks over the past 5 years. So starting in 2020, and he also threw in Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders into the mix. So that was 21 total quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Cam Ward on this list was 18th out of 21, only ahead of Michael Penix Jr., Shedeur Sanders, and Kenny Pickett. So again, this is where I think there is maybe some trepidation on the part of some Titans fans that Cam Ward, in a quote-unquote normal year maybe for quarterbacks, wouldn't be going this high. If Cam Ward were draft eligible last year with Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams and Drake May, he wouldn't be anywhere near the top of the draft. So I understand why there might be some Titans fans who see this. It looks like the Titans, to use your word, Willie, are telegraphing this decision, perhaps. I could see why some Titans fans might be a little tense about that.
But hold on, Willie.
But
who's to say? I understand what Graziano said in his article he put together. But if you throw Cam Ward in there after the season he had this last college year, if you throw those numbers in there as well, and then you put him all together with those guys from last year, I can't believe that he wouldn't have still got drafted in the first round, and he probably would have got drafted in the top 15. So to say, you know, if you throw Cam Ward in there last year, he wouldn't even have been a top 20 pick damn near, I don't believe that to be true, especially after the year he had last year, this past college football season.
Well, let's play devil's advocate on the are they telegraphing, because it really does look like that right now after the signing they made yesterday with Brandon Allen from the Cave right on the frontier. There's the frontier, and then there's even off the beaten path of the frontier. And there, I don't think there's even a path on the frontier. They went deep to get Allen, although you see why. You know, he's a career backup. He looks like he would fit the part of a guy that knows the offense. He's been with the Bengals. He's been with Callahan. He could shepherd along a young quarterback. But there's still evaluation to be done on Ward, right? He hasn't come in to throw. Like, he'll have a pro day, right, where he will throw. So that'll have everybody talking one way or the other. And then don't they have a sit down, like a visit with Cam Ward that hasn't happened yet? That hasn't happened, right?
I believe it has happened.
It has happened.
I'm talking about at the facility, not at the combine.
They didn't have him for a 30. I think they've had him for a 30 visit, if I'm not mistaken. That has happened.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But he hasn't had his pro day yet.
No.
Okay. So at the pro day, there could still be some things that could change the stock price. But I guess my point would be this. They could still pivot and go get, there's Jameis Winston out there. There still are a couple of guys on the frontier. But I think to have full leverage of that first pick and the full value, they might have to sort of bait that they are going to take Ward, right? If nobody thinks they're going to take Ward, if they had bitten already on a quarterback from the frontier, that would lower the stock in the first pick. Would we agree on that? In other words, if they had taken Kyle Wilson or somebody like that, then people would know they're not going to take the quarterback with the first pick.
Hold that thought. 615-737-1025. My question to all of you, is there anything that can prevent Cam Ward being the number one overall pick in the NFL draft at this point, or is it an inevitability that Cam Ward will be the Titans' next quarterback? And Derek Mason corrected me yesterday. He is absolutely right. So don't get your Cam Ward number one jerseys printed, because Warren Moon had his number one retired by the Oilers. So Cam Ward will have to wear a different number. But can Titans fans pre-order their Cam Ward jerseys? 615-737-1025. We will continue this conversation next, but be sure to tune in to 93.3 FM. Totally Hits tonight for MTSU men's basketball. The Blue Raiders, a double overtime win against Louisiana Tech yesterday. They take on Jacksonville State in the Conference USA tournament. Tip-off is at 2. Pre-game starts at 1:30. Coverage is also available on the 93.3 FM Totally Hits Nashville app and at totallyhitsnashville.com.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I started the process. I would have told you I thought, based on conversations I had coming out of the combine, that potentially they were leaning away from Cam Ward. But, you know, they signed Dan Moore, and I think that's shifted, honestly. I really do. I think it's shifted for, you know, Cam Ward's camp. I think it's shifted for when you look at just how the Titans have prepared, conversations that I had after the Moore signing, which were just, look, they're not going out and adding a tackle at that financial price point to protect an old guy next year. They're not doing it to protect Will Levis next year. What's sort of materialized for me over the last few days is just that, you know, the Levis experience is really over there. There's no veteran out there that they're fishing around with right now. And that, if anything, when you talk to, you know, Cam Ward's corner of the planet, it's just, okay, I'm going to end up in Tennessee right now, or they're going to deal me, they're going to deal the top overall pick to the Giants, and I'm going to be a Giant. I think that's really how Cam Ward's camp's approaching this right now. That's the two teams that he's really looking at. And of those two teams, the setup sure as heck looks like it's the Titans that are preparing to take him at that number one overall pick.
That was Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports with Robbie and Rex Road earlier this week. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. My question, is there anything that can prevent Cam Ward from being the number one overall pick at this point? Derek, before we went to break, you had a point that you wanted to make.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, Willie, when you mentioned the whole telegraphing things. But my thing is, if this is the guy you want, if you feel that he can change your franchise, then it makes no difference whether you know that I want him or you don't. If you feel that he is the number one guy in this draft, that he can change your franchise, that he can be the quarterback for your team for the next 12 to 15 years, then draft him regardless of who knows you're going to draft him. I'm sure people last year knew that the number one pick last
Caleb
year.
Caleb Williams.
Yeah, Caleb Williams. Everybody knew Chicago was taking Caleb Williams. They didn't make no qualms about it.
But I guess the point I'm making is what Adam was saying and what I have pointed out. And D-Mace, you've seen the same thing. I think last year there was a lot more consensus that Williams was absolutely worthy of the first overall pick.
Yes.
And you're not hearing that as much about Ward. This is a little bit of a late bloomer. Still some question marks. We're talking about first overall pick here. You've got to get this right. And, okay, if you're that sure, I'm going also by Mike Borgonzi's words of when you have the first pick, it's not only a good player, it's a guy that, what was it, drives the culture of your franchise.
Yes.
And if he's that guy, I'm with you, D-Mace. That's fine. Mm-hmm. If you think that, then stick to your scouting. If you believe that, it really doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. Adam's question was, is there anything that could make you think that they're not taking Ward? And I'm just pointing out there is a pathway, right? You don't have to take him. Even if you haven't signed the quarterback here, you could still go find the Carson Wentzes, a Jameis Winston, whoever is in the leftovers. Because I'm, again, going back to the same point. No matter who they pick, no matter what they do, it's going to be a rough year. They've got a lot of fixing of the roster to do. They have got one of the lowest rosters, even after free agency here. I don't know where the odd makers are right now, but I guarantee you they're in the bottom five of the league in odds to win the Super Bowl.
Chris in Dixon on our text line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, said, most people didn't think highly of Bo Nix. How'd he work out? How many teams would have him now? Just because they aren't the number one prospect in the last two or three drafts doesn't equal a lack of success.
And he's right about that. And this is what I've said, you know, whether it was going to be, and we don't know if it's not, but whether it was going to be Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward, if you feel in that building that he is your guy, then you draft him. Don't mess around. Don't try to, you know, outsmart somebody and say, oh, well, I can trade out of this pick, move down a couple of spots, and then get my – no. You're talking about a franchise that is in free fall right now in regards to how we look at them for the next, you know, two or three seasons. If you feel that Cam Ward is the guy, draft him. That's how I feel.
One texter says, Robert on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says the Titans right now are playing everybody. They shored up the offensive line. They're going to give Will Levis a chance. Last year he was running for his life, and it was the first time in the system. It takes time. Robert, I appreciate your optimism. I appreciate your faith in Will Levis. Stop trying to make Will Levis happen, just like Fetch and Gretchen Wieners. Will Levis is not happening. We appreciate Will Levis's service to the Tennessee Titans. Well, maybe. Most of you probably don't appreciate it because it wasn't that great. But I appreciate Robert's optimism on Will Levis. It ain't happening with Will Levis. As Charles Robinson said in that clip, they're not making these moves on the offensive line to protect Will Levis or some old quarterback. They are probably making them to protect Cam Ward.
Well, don't be surprised, you know, because I was thinking about this last night. As a matter of fact, I end up going to, and this is the reason why I thought of it, I end up going to Walgreens, and then I had to go to Trader Joe's. And one of the guys asked me about Will Levis. And I said, you know what? He was asking me, well, what are they going to do with Will Levis now that they brought the other quarterback in? And I said, you know what? My thinking now is don't be surprised if Will Levis is a draft day trade. Just to move up possibly in the second round. I mean, not in the second round, but to get a third round pick or something else. They're going to use Will Levis as leverage to try to move up in one of these rounds. And the more and more I think about it, I think that's going to be true. Because I don't think he has a place on this roster at this particular time. They can keep him, yeah. But I think the smart thing would be if you're going to draft a quarterback, you brought in a veteran quarterback to back up your rookie, then trade away Will Levis on draft day.
By the way, Willie, to answer your question, on ESPN, according to ESPN Bet, the Titans have the longest odds, tied with the New York Giants, to win the Super Bowl next year. So you're right. Absolutely right. They are 200 to 1 with the
Giants.
Keep
that in context. If you're sitting there going, hey, they fixed the offensive line and they're going to be a lot better, I don't think so. This is a project that's going to take a while to get it, no matter what you do. So you have to be sure that whoever you take with the first overall pick, if you take that spot, is worthy of that pick. You cannot make the mistake so many teams have made and just hope that a guy that made, like Bo Nix is a great example. Nobody would have taken it with the first pick last year. But it's a great pick by the Broncos. They had a later pick, and they thought this is a guy worthy of a late first-round pick. There's a big difference. True?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Robert, by the way, has chimed back in. He says, I'm not optimistic about Will Levis. It's just what the Titans are going to do. It's the most Titan thing to do, so that's what they're going to do. Hey, I guess you can never rule that out. Robert does have a point there. 615-737-1025. We will continue to take your thoughts on Cam Ward. Is it an inevitability that Cam Ward will be the number one pick in the NFL draft? Make sure to tune into 102.5 and 106.3 The Game for updates of the SEC Men's Basketball Tournament today, presented by Toyota. Fuel your adrenaline at toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places, also brought to you by Guinness, thenewcumberland.com, Volunteer Hose and Gasket, and Sloan's Motorcycle ATV. The SEC Tournament will be underway in just a matter of moments. Day three, Ole Miss and Auburn kicking things off at Bridgestone Arena, just a short walk from here at the pub in the Gulch on 11th Avenue. Come see Derek and I. We will be here through 6 o'clock. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.